We're back. The Foul Hooked Whitey and Brandon Booty, episode 3, Cayo Romano, Cuba. How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good.
You're not falling asleep?
Nope.
It's pretty boring. Nope. anyway, so episode 2, I left off with day 4 completed fishing in Cayo Romano. Ended up catching a couple of nice bonefish and ended up catching a nice tarpon. So I'm coming back. I'm feeling better. I finally caught a fish of some substance. So for me personally as an angler, my group's doing fine. Everybody's catching something good every day, give or take, even with the bad weather. So we're having a good week. So my fifth out of 6 days was with one of my favorite guides. And it's a young man. He's not young. He's mid to late 30s. His name's Gilbert. He's a tall dude. And, you know, Cubans are interesting people. They come in all shapes and colors. I can say that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mean, and what I mean by that is, you know, it's not like Mexico where you've got like, you know, a Latin gentleman that, you know, looks like a Latin gentleman, right? You know, you go to Cuba and you got fair-skinned folks and you got, you know, black folks and you got Latino. I mean, it's just an interesting mix. And it comes from Cuba's history. And Gilbert's a black guy and he's quiet. But he might be the best in the lineup. And on day 5, out of our 6 days fishing, this was the best weather day. Okay? And coming off that buzz of catching that tarpon, I'm feeling pretty good. So we get out there with Gilbert, and Gilbert's like, what do you want to do? I'm like, you know what I want to do? I want to permit fish. I mean, this is our... He's like, okay, we should see some here this morning. It just was that much nicer than the previous 4 days. So we get out there with Gilbert, and I'm by myself all week, right? And, you know, I'm not going to hide this. You know, I personally had a tough week. I had a tough week just because of shit I have going on at home, right? I'm not going to get into that, but, you know, my head's not there.
Yeah, thinking about shit.
My head's elsewhere.
Yeah.
You know, my head's with her, right? That's my whole week. And... But I got this chance to do something that morning significant. I just feel it, right? The first hour, 90 minutes of that day, this kid put me on 3 to 4, 4 to 5 permit shots that were like what you want, okay? Big fish, big permit. Singles and doubles. And I even had a shot or two at permit coming off of a raised back. Stingray. You know that? Have we talked about that at all ever?
No. Why do they follow the stingray?
They follow stingrays, I mean, and not groups of permit, usually a single or two, because stingrays are bottom feeders and they kick up shit that permit love.
Okay.
Like crab and shrimp. So they're literally just... You know, you've seen a rainbow sitting behind a brown bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Same fucking deal. They're just sitting there waiting for some eggs to come their way. Except not eggs. We're talking, you know, crustaceans and food. And what that does for an angler, not only is it really romantic, and I mean that, to get a shot at a permit off of a ray, but it's a big fucking target. I mean, that permit's within a foot or two, if not right on the ray's back. So... Locating that permit once the guide sees it is easy, and putting it on that back of that ray, which might be 2 by 3 feet, right, is easier. And I had those shots, and with everything that's going on in my mind on this day, you know, I'm emotional. I mean, I hate to admit that, but it's just where I was in day 5. I was missing home.
Yeah.
And I travel a lot in October, November, and December. And I just, you know, I wanted to be there because I got to be there. But I got shit at home that matters more. So that morning with him, it was kind of getting me back to where I needed to be because of those permit shots. And even though out of those 4 or 5 good shots, and what does a good shot mean? A good shot means that permit is coming towards us. Not going away or moving fast in front of you. coming right to us.
Okay.
Okay. That's the best position for me to catch a permit, because if they don't know you're there and you can get that crab and plunk it right in front of them fuckers, you're way more likely to get an eat.
When they're coming towards you, how far in front of them do you?
You know, I had shots as close as 30 feet.
And how far do you want to land that bug in front of them when they're coming towards you?
According to the Cuban guides, 1 meter, 2 or 3 feet.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, you know, if you've ever casted a hula hoop in water, and I'm being serious, it's harder than it looks.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, I mean, you know, people are like, oh, I'm a good caster. And it's like, well, I mean, you're a good caster when it comes to dropping a fucking dry fly or a nymph setup in a general area.
Yeah, you can cast it upstream and let it float down. You don't got to be super accurate.
And getting your fucking drift going. Yeah, sure, you are. But when you may not have a lot of time, and when you're nervous, and there's pressure, it's harder than it looks, you know. It's harder than it looks. I mean, you know, if I told you, can you cast 35 feet and put it within a 30-inch fucking window, left or right?
On the spot, first try, you know.
You would probably say yes.
I don't know if I could even do that.
I would say yes. I mean, I'm decent. I'm not great, but I'm decent. But I would say yes.
I think I get close.
Yeah, you know. But it's just that with that fishing for permit, you know, close only works with hand grenades.
Yeah.
It doesn't work with permit. The first shot or two I had, my distance was good. My bug placement was good. But I dropped my shit on the surface too hard.
Oh, yeah, shoot.
So the splash on a fly line tip and a leader connection, or just the whole thing coming down hard, it's over.
Spooked him.
It's over instantly. Or you'll get a follow, and then they see the boat, it's over. So I had these shots, and the whole fucking time I'm thinking about my wife and how I want to catch this fucking nice permit, right? Be a good boy, right? Be good. And those shots just didn't fucking happen. And, you know, I'm still pretty fucking optimistic, because I just got this feeling with Gilbert, the weather, and what I saw in that first 90 minutes, something good's going to happen. So we go to another area, another big, massive fucking flat with some land structure off of it. You know, these fucking flats are like, I don't know, 5 Costco parking lots, 10, 20. Huge areas.
Yeah, that's a big area.
No other fucking human within sight. Just that's the emotional side. You're in this setting in the middle of nowhere in a country like Cuba, with this guide you've got a good relationship with. And you're literally going through the motion of trying to change your angling life. That's what those moments can produce when you're fishing for these fucking permit. Okay? So we get to this other area, and boom, we see a couple more. I'm in it. And then all of a sudden, Gilbert says, Richard, there's a permit right there, 20 feet, 9 o'clock. I look left. Do one overhand plunk, strip, motherfucker reacts, strip. I see him open his fucking mouth. He eats it right there, bang, permit on. Right? And Gilbert looks at me, and it's not a big permit. You know, it's a qualifier, might be 10, 12 pounds, something like that. And Gilbert looks at me and says, good job. Good job. That's a good job that's right up there with my mama when I'm 2 years old, I'm peeing in the toilet for the first time. Good job, son. You understand?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I got my first fucking, you know, 100% on a spelling test in second grade. Good job. That's what that means.
Yeah.
You know, he meant it. Because these guides, for them to have a client that catches a permit, and, you know, that week there was only two caught, me and this guy in the other group named Mike, who's, you know, co-owner of Adipose Boats. Wonderful man. He, of course, caught a big one. That motherfucker's caught 500 in his career.
Damn.
I caught 6.
That's insane.
You know, it's almost hard to quantify.
Yeah,
fuck. I mean, 500 fucking permit this guy's caught. But anyway, so I see this thing eat. Boom. Set the hook. Gilbert, good job. And, you know, 9, 10, 12 minutes later, boom. There's my permit. My first Cuban permit. So, you know, that right there, that made my week. You know, it made my week. It's just that simple, right? The rest of the afternoon after we had lunch, and you know, that just that moment just further endeared me and Gilbert to each other. Because as long as I've got a fly shop and as long as I take people on international hosted trips, there will not be a business year that I do not go to Cairo Mono. You know, I've done a lot of places in Cuba and I've done the live aboard thing and I fish for bigger fish and different habitat there, but Cairo Mono's the place, right? And so landing this permit just like that, a lot of the pressure that I was dealing with professionally and a lot of the pressure I was dealing with personally faded away. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Because I caught a fish, dude, on a rod.
It's crazy. You know, it's crazy.
That's just what the saltwater game is. It's just, it's high stakes. It's high stakes. So like I said, the rest of the afternoon, caught some nice bonefish and had a great day with Gilbert. And that was the highlight of my week, was day five.
Would you rather have your good day be at the back end of your week or in the beginning?
Makes no difference.
Okay.
You know, and the reason is because as I sell these trips to people, especially to rookies, just people that don't know the salt game, I say to them with total sincerity, you got to buy three to get one.
Yeah, that
you do. Sense. You do. It's like, yeah, I've had trips that have been, you know, great weather all week, great fishing all week. But that's not the common.
Yeah, you can't count on that.
Got to buy three to get one. And as we closed out day five, that's kind of what I had so far, right?
Yeah.
One good day out of five, one and a half good days out of five. So we get back to the lodge, and you catch a permit. I mean, you're a little bit of a hero. I mean, you're a little bit of a hero.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're looking at these other guys in the group going, I caught one bitch, have you? I mean,
yeah.
I'm joking. I mean, you know, because I'm joking. But it does matter to catch one. It matters within your group. It matters within the guides. You get back to the bar, and Ronnie's like, I heard you caught a permit. So, you know, word travels on catching a permit there, right? It matters. So it was a good feeling for me, and it made me feel better. So our final day, you know, it ends up being fun. I mean, the weather is now returned to shit again. Okay? So we went back to the top of our roster, and on my last day, I'm with Leo. And on a tough fishing day, that's who you want to be with. Leo's good. He knows it, but he's good. So we get out there, and, I got to admit, I don't have hope for dick that I'm going to catch anything that day. It's fucking howling. There's no fucking sun. In the first 45 minutes of him pulling me, I had three good shots at big permit on my last morning, including permit that were on the back of a ray. So that was the second time that week that I got a chance to throw to that. And I had one moment that was cool in that first hour where there was a big fish, maybe 25 pounds by itself. You were seeing his flash because he was eaten. Again, it's overcast, so I'm not great at spotting fish, but he was moving around and he was, and Leo was like, you see him? I'm like, I see him. He's like, crouch down. So as he's getting me closer because of the wind, I'm like the fucking, you know, the tiger up in the front of this fucking skiff with my 9 weight. El Tigre. Okay? We get closer. We get closer. I fucking do an overhand cast. Plops where he can hear it. Fish beats over. Follow, boom, gone. I thought, like, oh my God, like it's going to fucking happen on this shitty morning. Right? Never fucking happened.
I just refuse it last second?
Yeah, I mean, I've probably mentioned this because I've yakked a lot about these trips, but your savvy dudes will tell you it's your first cast and they're going to eat it right away. It's like, it's not, the longer they follow, the less chance they're going to end up fucking eating it.
Yeah.
If you got a group of them, you might get that, like, they're competing with each other.
Yeah, I want to get that for you, Dad.
They get that. But, you know, this was a single, and, you know, and there's a reason why he told me to crouch down is because we were close. I think when I dropped that bug, I bet you I was within 25 feet of it. You never get within 25 feet in Mexico. These fucking fish, they're so used to boats. They're so leery comparably that, like in Cuba, it just doesn't quite get fished as much. So they're a little bit of a happier permit. So in the afternoon, Leo gave me a couple of cool lemon shark shots, but I didn't get any eats. It was tough. The highlight of my last day was seeing like a mangrove outcropping. So it was just basically, it wasn't an island. It was just like maybe a 200 foot wide, 200 foot long patch of mangrove growth in the middle of fucking nowhere. And I say to Leo, I'm like, are those spoonbills over there? You know, because there's some pink birds over there. And he's like, yeah, those are spoonbills. I'm like, fuck, take me over there. Spoonbills are a bright pink bird with a funky snout, a funky beak, and a blue face.
Okay.
Dude, they're beautiful birds. They're beautiful, but they're skittish. You get even fucking close to them, they're gone. But they were collecting there for some reason. I don't fucking know why. Maybe they're nesting there. And Leo takes me over there, and he's motoring, and I'm videotaping these fucking spoonbills just swirling around, these beautiful pink birds. And that made my day.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, that's something that you really, it's hard to sell to people on these trips, is that you're going to come away from this environment going, whoa.
Yeah.
The turtles, the shark, the bird life.
Because you got to think, people are paying money to go to places like that, you know, that you go to just to vacation, right? And not necessarily even go fishing. Like, it's worth the sights alone.
You guide professionally, so you every day deal with expectations of why they're there.
Yeah.
I want trout.
Yeah.
I want to catch fish, right? Fishing the salt's harder than that because of everything I've described in the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
So you got to take the environmental part of it, because there's no spoonbills in Montana.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're getting to see something you don't really get to see. And as he kind of took me around that corner on that mangrove outcropping, and I saw these 2-3 dozen spoonbills, you know, 25, 30 feet away, making that fucking crazy sound, it just took me away. Me, you know, kind of wrapped up a good trip. As good as you could.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, it didn't involve a fish.
How'd the rest of the group do?
The rest of the group did good. Thank you for asking. The rest of the group did great. It was a good group. It was a fun group. And everybody took advantage of their opportunities when they happened. And that's what a saltwater week is.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you're sitting there waiting for your pitch.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It is. Yeah. And if you whiff at your pitch when it comes your way,
it's on you.
You're not going to get on base, motherfucker. Right? That's just how it goes. You got to take advantage of your shots, because overall, fishing-wise, tough week. Not because of the angling skill, not because of the guides, and not because of the habitat, but because of the weather. And, you know, to wrap it up, you can't buy weather.
Yeah.
You can't.
It's true.
So that's it. The end of episode 3, Foul Hooked Whitey, Brandon Booty, Cayo Romano, Cuba.